Welcome to Outspoken, a storytelling event in which all speakers identify as LGBTQ. The story you are about to hear was recorded live in front of a storytelling audience at Sidetrack in Chicago. Outspoken. Retell. Relive. Relate. Now, here's our story.
Come on up, honeys.
Oh. I am really glad I peed before this. When I first thought about coming up here to tell a story, I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to say. Like, most people come up here and they have really great, funny stories, and I tried to think about mine, and I realized that, like me, my stories aren't really that funny. They're just really slutty. But I realized that I have some unique experiences being a gay man that was born in a Muslim Afghan family, and I wanted to do a two-parter, if you will. So, part one starts in, and I can never say this seriously, so forgive me, the year 2000. I had just turned 16 years old, and I was living at home, and I was gay. And my neighbor Lacey was, for some reason, the school's go-to gal for gay porn. And, like... And like any other 16-year-old, a little bit of thigh would set me off for hours. So I talked with her, and she donated to my cause. So much porn. And like any closeted Muslim gay boy, I hid it under my bed. But one morning, I forgot it out. And my mom found it. And so started the next 7 months of daily berating, judgment, and accosting. My parents... My very conservative Muslim parents were not going to have a faggot for a son. This meant a lot of late-night talks with my parents, which were mostly just my dad coming at me with sin this and evil that, and they created AIDS and a lot of that hate that was so present in the 90s and is unfortunately still out in the world today, as we saw just at Pulse Orlando. But I continued on because, like any 16-year-old, I already knew everything. At the very least... I did know who I was, and I was happy with who I was. Proud, faggoty me. And then I met Tristan. 15 years ago, this guy was my dream, and he was my very first love. We dated for 2 months, and mind you, dated roughly translated to sneakily holding hands in the dark recesses of backstage during the spring musical, but I digress. Anyway, during those 2 months, I lived in this hyper-emotional state where I was crazy in love with Tristan and crazy depressed at home, at odds with my parents. Eventually, Tristan decided he wasn't ready for a boyfriend. Tristan wasn't even ready to talk about liking dudes, so he ended up dumping me. But I had all of the feelings. So I wrote about him. A lot. I was that 16-year-old teen girl cliche with the journal entries about our perfect future and how perfect we were together and how I would never love like that again. And for safety's sake, that journal entry about him went with me everywhere I went. It was packed in my wallet. And then I forgot my wallet at home. And when I got home that day, the note was obviously gone. So as the day carries on, I'm wondering, what's going to happen? Around 8 at night, my mom gets a call and she looks at me and says, "Your dad says don't go to bed until he gets here. What did you do?" As I fake not knowing why, I start to freak out. He knows. He has to know. When he gets home, he tells my sister to go to bed. He tells my mom to put the blinds down, and he has me sit in the living room. He walks in with a knife. So we have talked and talked about this for 7 months now. Do you think this is okay? Do you think your mom and I would just be okay with this? Then he runs at me, knife in hand, and presses it against my neck. If you were in Afghanistan, you would be dead already. He clearly didn't kill me. And I'm going to take this moment to say that as a 30-something-year-old man, I know he was never going to kill me. But when I was 16, I was convinced I was about to die. 2 hours or something goes by. Mostly a blur, but filled with your disgusting and AIDS and more of that hate, but much more violent this time around. I'm sent off to my room. I'm not allowed to leave for 2 days. Finally, They let me out with express orders from my parents that this is family business, and I am not to talk to anyone about what happened at home. I walk to school, trying to determine what to do, and when I cross that threshold, I walk right to my counselor's office, whom I'd been talking with about the home situation since October, and I lost all control, and I just cried for what felt like hours and told him what happened. The next few hours are a bustle of motion and investigators and police, but at the end of the day, I was removed from my parents' home, and I was placed in temporary foster care. What follows is a year in foster care. Me going off to college. Me getting to be out. And me living my life as a proud gay man. Man. I was able to grow into my own thanks to all that. And about 5 years after that, I start slowly mending my relationship with my parents. Over time, it got better, and there was an understanding for a long time that there's parts of my life that we won't discuss. Zoom into my shiny nails. But that's what brings me to part two. Coming up, part two. In 2012, I was diagnosed with HIV. Sucks. I had a really rough go at it. But I've taken the virus, and I've used it as an opportunity to get my life back in order because, trust me, it was a mess, and I was spiraling the drain. Now, my immigrant parents, who only know HIV as something that killed a bunch of gays in the 90s, could not, should not know that I have HIV. They just couldn't handle it, so I kept it from them. But here's the thing. I'm not secretive about my status. It's public on Facebook and Twitter, and I have videos out there talking about status, about my status, and what living with HIV is like for me, and I just talk a lot about it, guys. And it's how I fight stigma. I really did take my infection and use it as my turning point to get back on track. But my point is that the information is out there, and the time had come to address it with my parents so they didn't find out because someone else told them. So I planned a trip out to see them. At this point, it had been 3 years since I'd seen them. So I make a nice long trip of it and decide that they'd find out halfway through. If we look at my last experience with things they didn't really like, it didn't turn out so well. So I was scared, but it had to happen. So we're sitting there, it's the middle of my trip, and we're hanging out and we're chatting, and my dad was playing with his new speaker that lights up in this rainbow pattern because he is honestly so gay sometimes. He painted our house pink, okay? And I ask him and my mom to sit down. And I brace myself for anger and yelling and even me having to pack up and go. But I told them flat out, don't freak out. Know that I'm okay and healthy. And I have been taking care of myself. And that I've been living with HIV since 2011. Pause. Silence. And then just some breathing. And slowly the weight of what I said came down on them. Honestly, I felt terrible for putting them through that. But it went well. I spent time explaining what HIV really is and that I don't have AIDS. And I had to explain medication and what living with HIV is now versus what they saw in the 90s and a lot of, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm really okay. At one point, my mom stood up and she walked over to me, and she hugged me and just said, we love you. Later, my mom told me that she and my dad were watching a movie once, and one of the gay characters, of course, died of AIDS. My dad turns to my mom and says, I'm so worried for Hadis. Well, I did get HIV. And I can't really explain to them that I'm okay, but now they can see me. Almost 5 years later, really living life fully and being healthier than I literally ever have been before. I'm not kidding, like seriously. But also, they learned. 15 years later, I was able to see that they really did learn something. You support the people you say you love and you will make them and your bond stronger. For the first time in 15 years, I can say that my relationship with my dad is strong again. A closeness we once had is coming back. I get to share a whole new part of my life with them, not the nails, and how I now work in HIV testing and prevention to help people who are living with this virus, people like me. People really can change, it seems. And it really does have to be said, thanks, HIV, I truly couldn't have done it without you.
This has been Outspoken. Outspoken is curated by David Fink and is hosted by Kim L. Hunt and Art Johnston. Audio production is by Ray Teresi. Music by Josh McLean. General manager of Sidetrack is me, Brad Bailoff. Outspoken is a storytelling event with speakers from the LGBTQ community and is recorded live in front of an audience at the legendary Sidetrack in Boys Town of Chicago. To find out more about Outspoken, go to SidetrackChicago.com. Outspoken. Retell. Relive. Relate. Thank you for listening.